Father, we just come into the perfect, wonderful presence of your wonderful Lord and Savior because he was the Word made manifest and he dwelt among us. And Father, he's now with you, but he sent us the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit. And Father, he said, it's expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, he cannot come. And so, Father, the Spirit of truth has been here for 2,000 years, and he's been with us to reveal truth to us. And Father, we thank you that he's burst in every heart of every believer, and we're all linked up to that great computer in the sky. And so, Father, we pray that even as we understand the message this morning, we pray that we take it to our heart, and Father, we act on it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. If you will, open up to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And I want to establish a precedence today before we get into the subject of marriage and divorce and remarriage. It's vitally important. And without this foundation laid, really we don't have anything to really build from. How many of you know you can't build a house until the foundation is laid? You know, and of course nowadays we have to get permits for everything. And that is so that the Department of Planning, isn't their name Yahweh or something like that? No, shut up, Jan. They have to make sure that everything that's built upon everything has to be approved first. So they have what they call planning approval, so to speak. And so when you lay a foundation before you even build the house, foundation has to be laid properly. How many understand that? I don't know if you guys have noticed some of the homes that have been here ever since I've been here, even before I've been here, and I've been getting to notice that some of them, it's amazing how some of them, the foundation is so poor that the house looks like some kind of music bar sheet, you know, that kind of with the ground, you know, just, and so right away when I see a home like that falling apart or anything like that, then I know that the foundation was not laid properly. And so this morning, I hope I lay a proper foundation in you to understand that foundation first so we can build off of that foundation. And what we're going to do is build lay a foundation first and then build off of that foundation the subject of marriage and divorce and remarriage. And so today, we're just going to focus in on that foundation that has to be laid first in our understanding. First of all, in John chapter 8, go to verse 32. John 8, 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, if you understand Scripture like I understand it, it's very clear that Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he is called the Spirit of truth. And so we know that if it's the truth that sets us free, then we've got to know the truth in order for it to set us free. Know the truth in order for it to set us free. Thank God for the Holy Spirit because he's the one that can set us free because he is the Spirit of truth that's birthed in every one of our hearts. So all of us have access to truth. That means all of us have a good start together. Amen. Praise God. Now turn over to John 3, 3 John. Leaving Big John to Little John. Chapter 3. And let's go to verse 2. Beloved, I wish, or actually I pray above all things, that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, most of the time, verse 2 is always taken from the aspect of money. But I do not believe that this is the verse that should even be applied to the understanding of money. I think this verse is applying to the understanding of how we are to succeed and be in health in life as directly as the soul prospers. Now, how many of you can truthfully say, I've been born again? Hallelujah. There's something that I want to clarify in the new birth. When you were born again, When you got saved, you got born again, you do not have a spiritual problem. That is a gift that was given to you. The life and nature of God has been deposited in your spirit. You don't need to do anything more than what God initiated as far as giving you a solid beginning, and that is spiritually. See, everyone, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you got born again, you're no longer poor in spirit. Are you following me? See, because your spiritual foundation is what everything will build off of. Your spiritual foundation is what you build everything off of. So when he says, beloved, may thou prosper and be in health, notice it's predicated on the soul prospering, not your spirit. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Now, of course, we understand there's such a thing as called spiritual development. All of us have to develop spiritually. But the initial ingredients for our salvation is found in the new birth. In other words, your spirit is very good ground for the seed of God's word. So you don't have a ground problem. You have a soul problem. And if you don't think that you have a soul problem, then you need to understand the new birth. Praise God. But really, you don't have soil problems unless your soil is your soul rather than your spirit. But everything has to come through your spirit to prosper the soul. So notice his focus here is not so much your spirit as your soul. The soul has to prosper. Why? Because the real you, the inner man, is not just spirit. We've been taught that, but that's wrong teaching. The real person that you are is soul and spirit. How many understand that? Your soul is just a part of your inner man is your spirit. How do I know that? Well, I haven't died and gone to heaven yet, but I do know that the scripture is very plain that when you enter into heaven, eternity, you will also take your soul with you. If you go into hell, you'll also take your soul with you. Why? Because your soul is just as much a part of your inner man as your spirit is. Amen. You can't divide the two except the Word of God do it for you. You cannot divide spirit and soul except there's something that will divide the two. And thank God it's called the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12. It is the Word of God that makes a distinction between soul and spirit. Why? Because in order for that distinction to take place, then God cannot begin to reveal to you the issues that are in your heart, the thoughts and intents of your heart. He can't really divulge that to you until, first of all, the Word of God makes a distinction between your soul and spirit. Now, because it makes a distinction, most of us think that we're a soul here, but we're also a spirit here. And we've been taught for years, in which we're not going to be taught that way anymore, we've been taught the real us is spirit. And somehow we've taken the soul and we just shovel it off into nothingness. It doesn't have any value. But listen, your soul is you. Your spirit is of God. Are you following me? So your real person, the real person that you are, is soul and spirit. Not just spirit, but soul and spirit. But we can term it this way. How many of you ever thought about your soul? How many of you ever really given any thought to your soul? You know, your soul, because it's housed in the physical brain, we look at the soul as having some form of substance. But did you know that without your physical brain, your soul still exists? If you should die, your soul is still intact. But you just don't have this flesh brain that is housed within your soul. How many understand? Or the flesh brain, the soul and spirit. It's housed or contained within your inner being. Your substance of spirit and soul exists within that which is physical. Just like you have a physical brain, you have a spiritual brain. Just like you have a spiritual body, you have a physical body. We find that in Scripture very, very plainly. Rich man and Lazarus, and said that when the rich man went to his place, and Lazarus went to his, The rich man said if he would just take his finger and dip it in water and touch the end of my tongue. Well, that shows you that everything that he was physically, he is spiritually the same. Are you following me? So it's important that I'm sharing with you what I'm sharing with you. And so, really, the soul, the part of you that is your inner man, has an eternal existence just as well as your spiritual body does. But if your soul has no substance to it until the brain, the physical brain comes into view, then the physical brain is the means through which your soul is expressed in this sense realm. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Your soul has to be expressed through the sense realm. And so this is the realm through which contact is made through the senses to each other, or even having an existence. But if this physical being is shut down, there's no way for you to bridge that gap and make contact. Are you following me? At least somehow there's a miracle where God can get you to manifest outside the realm of the spirit into that which is physical. And that's what we call a spiritual and physical manifestation. Like when I saw the Lord, when I was in the park and he manifested from the spiritual realm to the natural realm. Are you following me? And then I contacted him with my five senses, which I don't do now. I contact him with my spirit. Are you following me? But thank God for his grace. And anyway, because the physical body dies, the soul and spirit are eternally connected. But your soul doesn't have any substance neither, just like your spiritual being doesn't have any substance. So what God did is he created a spiritual being to house a soul being. And so he housed it within the spiritual body. You can't take your physical brain and house it within your spiritual man. It's impossible. Why? Because the two don't exist together. So when you talk about soul, that's very unique. That's a very interesting statement. It's the word psuche. It means a form of living outside of the person that God is. It means a lower form of creation other than God. And so this soul is you. It's your personality. It's your makeup. It's everything that you are that needs to eventually be conformed into his image. And that's in the realm of your soul. And how that's attainable is through your spirit. Praise God. Because that was the gift that was given to you of God. Not of any works, lest you should boast in that. God gave you the perfect groundwork to build off of. Praise God. Because you couldn't attain it on your own. Religious people try to. But it's crazy. You can't do it. Everything that God is, he has to work through you, through the substance that he has created to do that. And that is your spirit. Praise God. So your soul is actually an immaterial substance as well, until it's housed in substance, just like your spiritual man. Amen? And the reason I brought that up is we're going to deal with the issues of God's Word and how it's in seed form, but it has to be planted in the good ground. And it has to bring a cause and effect in your life through that which is spiritual to that which is natural. And now that I've established that, let's take a look very clearly at some more scriptures. In 3 John here, we looked at verse 2, and it says, Beloved, I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Even as thy soul prospers. So he's literally saying that in order for you to succeed in life, the thing that has to take place is that your soul has to prosper. It has to prosper. And if your soul has to prosper, then it means then you'll also be in health, even as your soul has prospered. You know, a lot of people seem to think the devil is our problem. Many times, people, the major problem in your life is not the devil, and it definitely is not God, it's you. You see, and a lot of us don't want to face us. Why? It's so hard. But that's where deception comes in so easily, because we never look at ourselves, we always look at somebody else to vent having to look at us. And so we look at the chip in everybody else and not realize we've got a log in us. You know, and that's how the devil operates. He always gets you to look at somebody else rather than yourself. Why? Because if you look at everybody else's mistake in life, That means that you have a validation for why you can see where they're doing something wrong, because after all, you have learned how to judge people so well. But the problem with that is you just add another chip to what started out as a chip in your life, but now all of a sudden you've inherited a log. Why? Because you have a hundredfold return on everybody else's chip. And so that's the problem. And that's how the devil speaks to believers. He speaks through somebody else's chip. God doesn't do that. He doesn't speak through somebody else's faults. That's not the way God is. He speaks to you by exposing your own heart. See, that's the key. Now, go over to Hosea chapter 4. Again, we're laying a foundation that I think will really help you. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, this is a very interesting scripture. It says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Now, I wish they hadn't used the term knowledge, because in the Hebrew, that's not the word that's used there. It is the word understanding. Understanding. See, it's one thing for you to have knowledge, but it's another thing for you to have understanding. Now, what is the difference between the two? Well, knowledge is facts. Knowledge contains facts. The knowledge is here. But what God wants you to do along with knowledge is get us understanding. And a lot of people don't understand what understanding means. Understanding means that a person, when he has received knowledge, he knows how to take the knowledge and arrange the knowledge in its priority so that it has an understanding with it. How many of you ever heard, let's get down on your level, how many of you ever heard this statement, you can interpret the Word of God any way you want to? And I've heard Christians say, that is not true. That is a lie. Well, it all depends on what person is saying it from what direction. Because if you're not saved, you don't have the Spirit of truth residing in you, you're not born from above, then that statement is correct for that individual. He can interpret the Word of God any way he wants to. Why? He's doing it today. There are many people that are interpreting the Word of God the way they want to. But listen, when you have the Spirit of truth in your heart, God will not allow His knowledge to be interpreted your way. Why? Because I know there's a scripture that says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. But actually, in the Greek language, that is not what's being said there. It's being said there to pursue God with persistent zeal. Be eager to present yourself. Pursue God. That's where we get the word zealous. Be eager to pursue God with persistent zeal. If you want to find God, pursue Him with a zealousness about you. Don't be in a state of complacency or indifferent, or you'll fall backwards and stumble and be snared even by the knowledge that you do have. But when you continue to move forward with God, you keep coming from one level of glory to another level of glory. Are you following me? And so when you're studying to show yourself approved, that is an incorrect statement. Really, how you pursue God is that you present yourself in a manner where God can reveal Himself to you, because God wants to interpret Himself to you. He doesn't want you to interpret Him. And there's the problem with the church today. We're trying to interpret God out of our own knowledge rather than having God revealing Himself through His understanding of the interpretation of knowledge. There is a big difference. How many of you are understanding what I'm saying? And yet the church itself today as a whole needs to understand this. We need to understand this. Now, beloved, may you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Even as your soul prospers. Excuse me, I got to take a drink of water. Could you hold that for me, sir? Get a rich reward. So, let's go to another place that's very interesting. Let's go to Proverbs 29:18. And let's get something else established here that's vitally important. And incidentally, I do want to clarify this one statement. Through the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is not one thing that the God the Father has to do from this point on as far as what He has done for us. Redemption is complete. Any victory that you need in your life is through that redemption, and it's complete. I want to get that established. It is complete. The only thing that you have to do is come to a revelation of what's already been done for you. Whether it's healing or anything else. See, many people are saying in their faith, I will ascend into heaven. That is to bring Christ down from above. Or we need to look for another resurrection. No, the redemptive work of Christ is already completed. Faith does not speak on that wise. Just like healing, some people say, I know I'm healed. I know I'm healed. So God's going to give it to me one of these days. No. God's already provided healing. It's you getting in line with what He's already provided, and then you shall have it. And there's the difference between the present and the future. Faith is now. How many of you know that? But did you notice, even though faith is now, you shall have future tense. So that shows you right there that your faith has to be activated now, and you will have it. Are you following me? But many Christians are waiting to have it first, then kick in their faith. And that isn't going to work. That's going to bring you confusion. Now, in Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And the reason I'm not going to make the statement of the second half of that verse, it's not necessary for where I'm trying to go with you right now. Notice he says two things. No vision, you perish. No vision, you perish. The word vision is very interesting. It is the Hebrew word hazon. Hazon. And a lot of people don't understand that the ministry of a prophet in the Old Testament is different than the ministry of a prophet New Testament. In the Old Testament, the prophets were the ones designed by God to have an appearance, to have a revelation handed to them, and the prophet was to give it to the people. How many understand what I'm talking about? And then, as a result of that, then the priests would give it to the people, the revelation that they had received from the prophet. Well, today, we're not dealing with directly with the ministry of a prophet for revelation of the Word of God. We have shepherds and we have teachers and we have a different form of operations because it is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that's birthed in every one of our hearts. Hello? Now, he says here, where there is no vision, where there is no hazon, where there is no revelation of God's Word, where there is no revelation of God's Word, it said, the people perish. The word for perish literally means to be left naked with no protection. To be left naked with no protection. So whenever there is no hazon, then there is no cloaking or clothing concerning your protection. So if God's going to give you insight or knowledge, what is the purpose of giving you the insight that you need, or let's say knowledge that you need, without, hello, a reason for it? You know, some people treat God like He doesn't know what He's doing. I've learned that God has a reason and a purpose for everything that He does. And that is for us to succeed, whether it's in this natural life or that which is to come. Are you following me? God wants you to succeed in both realms. He wants you to succeed here as well as He wants you to succeed there. Amen. And yet people don't understand, what in the world is this referring to? Well, it's referring... You know, some Christians just go through life just like wilderness walkers and just let things just be added to them and then call upon God to bail them out. Well, we're not called to be wilderness walkers. We're not to even give identification to a wilderness walker. We're not to do that. Why? Because we haven't been called to walk in the wilderness. The reason these people walked in the wilderness is they refused to enter into all that God had to offer. They refused to believe God. Now, many believers, even today, exist like lepers. They have the mentality of death. Why? Because they're living after the flesh. And your flesh is corruptible. It is perishing. And so many of us live as lepers. And we don't know how to get out of that kind of mentality. And we're going to read a story about four lepers that had that kind of mentality. And we're going to understand something about where God did bring them a word, and they refused to believe it. How the king that refused to believe the prophet's revelation of the condition that the city would be in, he refused that word. And how these four lepers come into being. And the reason that these four lepers are so important to us is because it gives us a true picture of how many of us are living just like these four lepers and the mentality they have. God didn't call you for you to exist on a conveyor belt so that anything that's pre-designed to be added to you is pre-designed to be added to you, so at the end of the conveyor belt you're dumped off and whatever you come out to be, that's what you are. God never intended for any of us. God intended for us to go through life and being conformed to the image of Christ, and to succeed and be a light or an illumination to this dark world that needs help. Amen. And yet we want to believe God, but somehow we get this mindset, just like these lepers. We get in this mindset where we evaluate everything to our situation or circumstance, and not realizing that we're to live by faith. We're to live by that which is seen. No, by that which is not seen. So we have to know the will of God. We have to know what God has designed for our life to succeed here and there. It involves both realms. And so that's where we're going to go on next. Now, notice it says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Are left naked, no protection. That literally means in the Old Testament concept, it literally means when you're left naked, there's no protection. That literally means there's no way that you can protect yourself from any. You have no way of restraining what happens to you. So evidently, when God gives you insight, He wants you to have something to combat it with. He wants you to be able to restrain yourself. Have a restraint about you from which the enemy could come in and take you out with. See? People, God's word wasn't given to us just to say, hey, let's get churched until He comes. And when we get to heaven, it'll be worth it all. Listen, you don't go to heaven stinking like you've been through wars that you've lost. You're supposed to enter into heaven with a crown about you of great victory. Praise God. That's God. How many of you have children and you want your children to succeed in life? Well, that's the way God wants you to be, as His children. But listen, God didn't expect me to raise my children to be dumb in life. No, He wanted me to raise my children to give them some insight how they're to succeed in life. You know? So why? So they'd have a way of casting off that which could destroy them. Casting off restraint, having a restraint about them to cast it off. Amen? That's why I had to come into agreement with my wife. We made a decision. We don't want no secular school teaching and raising our kids anymore. We're through with it. And that's why I go to whatever extra length it takes for me to see to it that there's money there for these kids, because I want them under the wisdom of God's word rather than the counsel of this world. Because why? The world is reaping back the counsel they're giving children. Yep. And men, I'm going to tell you something. You ought to take the leadership and see to it that the money is there for your kids to go to Christian school. And find a good Christian school. Amen. Keep your kids out from under the dictates of the adversary, the prince ruler of this world. Hallelujah. That's doing so well to indoctrinate our children. Share this with you. That's so vitally important. Now, when I said many of us want to live as lepers, I want us to go to the story about the four lepers, and I want us to read it. Hallelujah. In 2 Kings chapter 7, this is where the prophet had brought a revelation to this city. And basically, what the prophet had told the city that was seized up, closed up, and they were without food. They were starving, the city. It was walled up. And Elisha comes along, and he gives a prophet. As a prophet, he gives a prophecy. And he says, tomorrow, he says, your streets will be filled with substance, food. The famine will be lifted. And what did the king do? What did the people do? Why? They had vision of the wrong kind. You see, God will give you His vision. But if you keep your vision over His vision, you're going to have a problem. And the prophet prophesied, he says, hey, don't be upset. Things are going to work out. Things are going to work out. And he said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. That's kind of like some of us when we've come to the end of something. We sit there and we go, well, I know what the Word of God says, but you don't understand. You know, that's really pride in its highest form. Because when you get into battles with this life, God will bring you the insight you need to believe and trust in. So, number one, you can have peace. Isn't that good? Number one, you can have peace. And number two, know that victory is on its way. Most of us as believers, we seem to think that if we just take this place of masochism, God has some kind of favor with us. If we're in torture and torment, it's a way of God really testing us and trying us to see if we'll really last this thing out. Hey, I found out it takes as much torture and torment as possible to believe in that which brings peace than not to believe in it. But in the long run, to disbelieve is worse than believing. Both of them come with a test in our life of torment and torture. Because nothing could be more unfeeling than to have to rely on a word God has given and you can't tangibly put your hands on it because you can't see it. You have a different vision than the vision God has given. So God gave him a vision of truth. He said, through the prophet who brought a vision to the people that were in a tight spot, tomorrow there'll be so much food in this city that you'll have to pay for it. Right now, I'll say, how about that? Got a kernel of corn? You know, I'll take that. So, most of us think like a leper. We're not in the city. We're outside the city, on the other side of the gate, and we're sitting there, and we come up with this tremendous revelation. Well, if we try to go into the city, because we're lepers, they'll kill us. And if we go to the enemy, he'll surely kill us. They don't want lepers neither. Oh, but I got an idea. Let's go on down anyway. And if you go ahead and beg for food, at least if they kill us, it'll be with a full belly. Now I'm paraphrasing this. Are you following me? Because we're going to die either way. Most of us as believers, that's why we look at situations, circumstances in our life. When God has already given us a word that we have these dearly precious and beloved promises given to us, and we still got the mentality of a leper. I'm just destined to die anyway.
You know, what have I really got to... I'm full of leprosy. I'm going to die anyway. I can't go into the city and get anything. I'll just die there. They'll kill us. And if we go down to the enemy's camp, they're going to kill us anyway. But let's go down at least where we hope for a meal before they wipe us out. And so you know the story. They went down. Still had the mentality of lepers. And went and found nobody around. Well, what'd they do right away? Well, let's run back to the city and tell them nobody's here. No, what they did is said, before anybody else gets a hold of this stuff, let's just get in here. And they went in there and they ate and they fed themselves. And then they decided, well, let's pack up some of this treasure and go hide it before we even say anything. Because once we say something, they'll all come down here. They'll even take what we got. So let's do that. See, living out of the existence of what appears all the time. Most believers today live out of what they only can see. Right. So what'd they do? They made several cartloads of treasure and went and hid it. They said, now let's go and tell them. So they went and told them. And so what happened? Mr. Wisdom come out. Well, let's I've got a word for you, King. Let's just go on and send out some horsemen and check out, make sure that their story is right. If they're going to kill anybody, they'll kill all these guys, and at least we'll stay where we can't be captured, you know. And so they sent out all these horsemen, found out it to be true. They come running back. So what did God do? He destroyed the one who gave the wisdom of going by what he saw, the first vision, rather than the vision that God had given. Quit living by what always appears. Start living by what the Word of God has to promise you. Are you following me? Yeah, today it might look like there'll be no tomorrow for you, but I got news for you. Tomorrow's another day for God to work. Just let Him work today, for it'll help for you to succeed tomorrow in life. God hasn't given you up in the form of leprosy. You're not something just to stand around and just, when your time comes, it's over, buddy. God didn't design us to live like that. Has He designed you to live like that? Some of you walk and you talk and you clothe yourself and you drive what your life is expected of. Some of you are driving automobiles that are stuck together by Band-Aids. Why? That's the level of your mentality. When it dies, I hope God will give me another one. What kind of mentality is that for life? You know, we're not going to get it in the church. Let's just go back to the world to get it. I've known people who have sold their soul to the devil in a cult religion because the church couldn't do anything for them. This mentality of always going by what appears. I don't understand a lot of things that I face in life. You know, and thank God I don't, because sometimes if I did have any understanding, I'd mess it up. But there is something I just don't know how it's going to work out. But I know that by a direct doing something, by directly looking into what God says and performing that, I know somehow I will succeed. I don't know how it's going to work, but it will work. Why? Because His Word promises you that even if you don't understand what you're doing, you follow His instructions and it will work for you. Trouble is, we want to follow His instructions our way rather than His way. We want to follow His instructions by our vision, not His.
You know, how come every time I leave here, I always feel depressed?
Well, maybe it's not the Word of God that's your problem. It's you.
I just want to be babysat. I don't want no responsibility. I want to be babysat.
Let's turn over to James. We'll be closing here in a little bit. Let's go over to James. Let's go to James. Let's go to James chapter 2. And here it says, in verse 17, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Isn't that a very interesting statement? It's almost contrary to James, or almost contrary to Romans chapter 4. It says faith doesn't have any works, but believes, simply believes. So let's go on over to Romans 4 and hold your place here. And let's go to Romans 4. That's confused many of my men who have commentaries, and they're confused about this statement. In Romans chapter 4, what shall we then say, verse 1, that Abraham, our father, has, pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he have whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, this can be very confusing to people. Now, listen, if faith doesn't have works, then why does James talk about works when over here in Romans chapter 4 it talks about faith doesn't have works? How many of you figured this one out on your own without really letting this confuse you? One, two, a half of one, three, four, five and a half. Well, one is a faith that when God speaks, are you following me? When God gives you something, you don't have to work for it. You don't have to work for what God gives you. Are you following me? But once God has given you something, how many of you know now it's up to you to perform it? Now, there's where the works comes in. See, once God has freely given you something, then it's up to you then to what has been freely given to you to act on it. You know, God could give me $1 million, but what if I received $1 million without works and then cried out to God to help me financially? God! I know I'm not supposed to do anything with this money, so help me, because my faith is without works. Help me! Well, with that kind of mentality, it would have had to have been God to give you that money. You couldn't have gotten it on your own, because that kind of mentality don't work that way. Well, the next step, then, once you've received that which is outside the reins of your natural apprehension, the next thing you do is then you got to act on it. And most believers do not perform the Word of God. Why? They have the first vision called leper's mentality. We can't go into the city where the prophet had given a revelation, lest they kill us, and we can't go forward, but to kill us, well, what's the difference? Whether they kill us or not, at least let's go down there and get a belly full before we die. See, that's not the kind of life that God's called you to be. He's called you to take the promises of His Word and put action to it and start believing Him. Hallelujah. If you don't like the car you're driving, believe God for a good one. Well, how do you? Well, you might not have the money to start with, but by God, all you can do is go back to Scriptures and you can get a hold of some promises that belong to you. Start there and start confessing that. Hallelujah. And say, God, if I'm the problem, I'm not driving something halfway decent. Man, maybe I got a work problem. Are you following me? Maybe there's something where I'm missing it. Yeah. See? And then God will go right back to you. And He'll tell you very clearly, well, the reason that you don't drive a good car is that no one's listening to me to give you one. You poor little thing, you. No, some people that have that kind of mentality, I'd like to tell them where they can get good transportation.
How, Pastor?
Job. But you know what job is to them? Job. Job. Work. We need to put some action to what God has given us. If God said that tomorrow you'll feast and not famine, then you put your hope in that. You don't put your hope in death, you put it in life. What God's Word says will work for you. If you rightly divide the Word of truth, it'll be your greatest victory. It won't be your worst enemy. It's just, you know what? You know what? Leprosy thinking will even look at the Word of God and interpret it in light of death. They will. Negative people will interpret even that which is positive to be negative.
Oh, what happened? Well, you took black and you put it to red, and red to black. No, I didn't. You didn't? No. Why is your hair looking like it was in a socket? Because they never can see themselves.
Well, it was the way they labeled the battery.
The way they labeled them back?
Yeah, if they would have made the wording a little clearer.
I'm speaking from experience. This happened. Well, do you know what you did by that action?
No, and I knew.
You got more than a battery problem now.
What are you talking about?
You haven't got an alternator left. See this melted thing over here?
And by gosh, he'll sit and tell you, well, it was not my fault. It was the battery's fault. No, it was the ones that made the battery. They should have made the positive over here and the negative over here.
And just go through life making excuses. Yep. Rather than sit there and say, I must have hooked them up wrong. Good idea. Y'all love me, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm laying a foundation here. The Word of God will work. The Word of God will work. You just have to believe in it.
Well, you just don't understand. I got the enemy before me, and the promises of God behind me, and I'm full of leprosy. I'm destined to die.
Can I help you? What? I'll just shoot you now, and you don't even have to worry about a stomach problem. And there's some people that you try to minister to them, you try to counsel with them, and all they do is lean towards death.
But you don't understand. Hey, hold it, Pastor. You don't understand.
What don't I understand?
I got leprosy.
Oh, I'm glad you told me. Well, then no use me counseling. Why, you're dying, man. You know, I'm preaching to you, but I preach to myself. I do some of the dumbest things. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. Yeah, I got the Word of God. How I get it from her is she always tells me, Mr. Perfect. You think it's hard living in your home. Thank God. God gave me Sue. She's the only one that could live with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, did you get something here today? So we've got to realize that the word that we have in our lap is what's going to cause us to succeed. That's all I'm trying to say after all that. Excuse me? Listen, Mr. Butler, you quit competing with me. Did you do that on purpose? It was an accident. It was an accident. Did you hear what was said? Well, you guys got something today, didn't you? Are you destined to succeed? Are you destined to succeed on purpose?
Yes.
If you don't like where you're at, make a decision that's got to change. I don't like where I'm at as a pastor. I made a decision this year. It's going to change. Why? I'm not going to sit at the gate any longer. I got rid of those leper clothes, man. I'm going to hook up with Elijah and sit right next to him and say, you got any more to come, man? I want to just, you got anything else to say? I'll take it. Amen. Get involved with the Word of God. Get involved with His promises that belong to us today. Because He's given us His exceeding great and precious promises in order for us to succeed in. We can't fight the devil with our vision. We have to fight him with God's vision. Hallelujah. Amen. And He didn't cause us to get a revelation so we could sit on it. He gave us a revelation so we can act on it. Praise God. Amen. The lifting of the veil, what He's already done for us.